This is Hungry, a Stranger Things fanfic written by It Can Be Palped and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated G and contains the pairing Robin Buckley, Chrissy Cunningham, with additional text for Cass, Chrissy Cunningham, Comes Back Wrong, Slice of Life, Post-Apocalypse. Sort of, but Hawkins is just built different. Summary. It's important to keep your supernatural girlfriend well-fed. Author's Notes. Written for Stranger Things Femmes last week, day 6. Came back wrong. Version 2. I couldn't resist a more traditional supernatural-leaning fic for this prompt. Is this all? The cashier, Tiffany, according to the peeling label on her name tag, was keeping things professional, at least, even if her eyebrows were drawn in confusion or concern. Robin ran her eyes over the items in the bagging area. Ground beef? Check. Beef medallions? Check. Beef livers? Check. Styrofoam cups of beef blood? Check. Yep, that's about it. Robin tried to keep her voice chipper, as if that would be enough to make the cholesterol bomb of red meat look normal. Maybe she should have grabbed a net of mandarins after all. Something to show that she wasn't going to die of scurvy or something. But they were out of season and looked sort of sad. Tiffany's eyebrows shot up, expression deceptively relaxed, but screaming, "You had a chance to tell me you forgot every other item on your list, you weirdo! I'm going to opt not to react so that you don't attack me." Or something maybe less melodramatic. "That'll be $12.39. Robin dug the wad of bills out of her pocket, counting out the right amount and dragging the crumpled bills along the edge of the counter to try and flatten them a bit. Tiffany heaved a quiet laugh and accepted them, waiting until Robin counted out the exact change in nickels and pennies before opening the cash drawer. While her hand hovered over the receipt dispenser, Robin stacked the meat and the cups of blood into a paper bag, then put that into another bag. This mission was strictly solo, which meant there was no Steve waiting to drive her and her bounty of meat home in an air-conditioned car. Instead, she'd have to hang onto the bag with one arm while biking the mile and a half home. She'd never gotten a basket or a rack, and she had really been regretting it lately. The ride home is uneventful, but she hates the way her sweat and the condensation collecting on all the packaging soaks the bag. Hates the way it feels like she's moments away from having a lap full of gross meat every damn time she makes the same trip. Robin takes a moment to feel lucky that she lives in a weird sweet spot in town. She's far enough away from the cracks and from the gates that she isn't in a patrol zone and isn't close to the quarantine zone that the government shills had set up. It's always wild how deceptively normal Hawkins is. Its citizens, the ones left at least, so accustomed to the bizarre that they don't question or make a fuss over the weird way the city has been split into four. She's safe, is the point, and doesn't run into anyone who might think it's weird that she has a bulky bag of meat in her arms. Her dad's Ford Escort isn't in the driveway, which means he's still out with her mom volunteering at the high school. She knows from personal experience that they'll be tied up until evening, which means she's got a couple of hours to go. She rides her bike up to the little gate that blocks off the backyard and leans it carelessly against the house once it's at least somewhat hidden from the street. No reason to lock up in their neighborhood, but even with how contained the upside-down wound-splitting Hawkins is, there's still the odd apocalypse-related thefts. The sliding door to the back porch is unlocked, which makes it easy to push open with her elbow, both hands occupied with keeping the meat from falling through the bottom of the now-wet bag. "Honey, I'm home," she calls, the same chipper tone from before. It's a weird diet, to be sure, and even if Robin is practically a vegetarian by now, what with seeing the aftermath of her soulmate nearly chewed to bits, it's important that she doesn't create feelings of guilt over the rather gruesome choice of meals. Better than nothing, after all. The fine hairs on the back of Robin's neck stand up just a split second before the feel of a cold and clammy hand grasps her there, firm but gentle. She feels the press of an equally cool body against her back and just knows her cheeks are flushed from more than just the heat. A pair of lips kiss her on the hinge of her jaw, crooked teeth just pressing against her neck in a dangerous little greeting. She smiles a bit, helplessly charmed as a cute little button nose sniffs just behind her ear, right before a gentle purr vibrates against her back. "Oh, Robbie, I thought I smelled you on the wind." The creature she once knew as Chrissy Cunningham rubs their cheeks together, presses their faces together, so that the apple of Robin's cheek rests in the empty hollow of her eye socket. "Did you bring me some treats? I've been so terribly hungry." The end.